and we have been dealing on financial matters. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Said, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Speaking on the subject, the covenant practice of giving and receiving. And our objective is to understand the covenant practice of giving or sowing and receiving or reaping. Paul the Apostle said, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving. He didn't say no church communicated with me, no church gave me anything. No, it is giving and receiving. By way of introduction, we'll be saying three things. Number one, giving and receiving is an unbreakable law of God. Giving and receiving, or what is called sowing and reaping, is an unbreakable law of God, unbreakable law of scripture. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, it said, while the earth remaineth, seed time or giving and harvest and receiving and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. For as long as the earth remains, the only time that law will fail is when you woke up in the morning and your leg could not touch the earth. For as long as the earth is fillable. Secondly, receiving always precedes giving. Yes, that is, God will not ask a person to give what he, God, has not given them. He won't. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 17, he said, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he had given thee. So he said, nobody is asked to give where he does not have what to give. So we say giving and receiving, but we actually receive before we give. It's like breathing in and breathing out. We breathed out because we first breathed in, and so on. Receiving precedes giving. And thirdly, God owns the earth. All that is in it and all that man has. God owns the earth. All that is in it and all that man has. That is, there is nothing you have, there is nothing I have, there is nothing anywhere in the world that belongs to anybody but God, including the car at the car park. And I'll show you six reasons why. Number one, this is 3:1, numeral 1 or 3a, 1. First, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Psalm 24 verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and everything that has filled the earth. Everything. The earth, the houses, the cars, the accounts, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Second, we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of the world. Another way to say it is, we met everything in this world and we shall leave everything in this world. So how do we own it? Job chapter 1 verse 21. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. He said, the Lord gave, the Lord take. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The first part is our concern right now. Naked, I came from my mother's womb. The professor's child was not born with a degree certificate. The billionaire's daughter wasn't born with gold diamonds on, with diamond chains on the hand or on the neck. God owns everything. We brought nothing into this world and we shall take nothing out of the world. And I say that means we met everything in this world and we are living everything in this world. Thirdly, God owns the life and the breath that we have to earn anything on it. He owns the life and the breath that we have to earn anything on it. He owns the life, he owns the breath. Why do I say so? Job chapter 12 and in verse 10, scripture said, in whose hand, that is in God's hand, is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. If he withdraws the breath, man is dead. And you need to breathe to live, and you need to live to walk, and you need to walk to end. The day the man dies, his salary stops. Normal circumstances. So why? What are we boasting about that we own? He owns the life and the breath that we have to earn anything on it. Perspective determines performance. Fourthly, see, I said somebody must be alive to make money, right? And that life was given by God. And this is for the benefit of all those who say, my money. How? They're asking me for my money. Nobody is asking you. Nobody. And for your information, sir, it's not yours. Number four. Fourthly, God owns the energy and strength we use to earn anything. He owns the energy and strength we use to earn anything. In Psalm 18 and in verse 1, scripture speaking said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. You walk because you are strong. Somebody on the life support in the hospital is not walking. Laborers are laboring because they have energy. He said, God is my strength. Withdraw God from my life and I can have either flaccid paralysis or spastic paralysis. Or become a vegetative living. The energy, the strength that gave you anything was given by God. Number five. God, was that number five? Four. 5, God owns the favor and opportunity that gives us anything. He said, I returned and found out under the sun. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. That is, fastest runners don't normally win the race. Nor the battle to the strong. A strong fighter may be killed. Neither yet bread to the wise. Wise, there are wise people begging for food. Nor yet riches to men of understanding. Professors are not necessarily millionaires. Nor yet favor to men of skill. There are talented people that are still stranded. Say, but time and chance happened to them all. That word time and chance is combined means is the mercy of God. The mercy of God. What determines men's outcome is not their power, not their skill, not their education, but his mercy. Time and chance, mercy. Time and chance, favor. Am I communicating? So the favor you that gave you that contract, that connection, the opportunity that made you to make your first 1 million was not because of your beauty or your handsomeness, because there are handsomer people and beautifuler people. It was not because of your connection. It is time and chance. It is mercy. That mercy is coming your way right now. Yeah. Finally, God owns the wisdom or brain in bracket that brought us any income. He owns it. God owns the wisdom, owns the brain that brought us any income. How many of you know that at times wealth can be a function of the fact that somebody got a brilliant idea, or got a breakthrough idea, or got something, and then he became, or somebody who is a first class degree holder, or somebody who is very, very super intelligent is then earning so much money, something at times. You went to school and got a degree, and that degree is giving you salary. It's God who owns the brain, owns the wisdom. You see, Daniel chapter 2 and in verse 20, scripture said, in Daniel 2 and in verse 20, it says, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He is the owner of wisdom. Anytime people celebrated your wise action is because God has had mercy on you. He has the exclusive preserve of wisdom. Wisdom and might are his. Every manifestation of wisdom is the help of God. If we have said all that, we mean to say there is nothing we have that was not given by God. All I have was given to me by the Lord. All I have was given to me by the Lord. All I have was given to me by the Lord. All I have was given to me by the Lord. All I have was given to me by my Lord. All I have was given to me by the Lord. This is very, very true. Very, very true. Having said that, therefore, should it be difficult for anybody to release to the owner what belongs to him? No. I'll give you 6 examples of giving and receiving in scripture. And it is right from Genesis. First example was when God took the rib from Adam and returned the Eve. I'll look at that just quickly. Second example was when God multiplied the meal for the widow of Zarephath. We look at that in 1 Kings chapter 17, all the way from verse 13 to verse 16. When he took the meal of the widow of Zarephath, he multiplied the meal of the widow of Zarephath. Third example was when God multiplied the oil for the prophet's widow. That was in 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 4 to 6. He multiplied the oil. They were all principles of giving and receiving. Fourth example was when God turned the water into wine at the wedding of Cana in Galilee. That was an example of giving and receiving. And I'll show it to you in that service, the fourth service. Fifth example was when God multiplied, Jesus multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed 5,000 men, not to talk of women and children. That was in John chapter 6, verse 11 to 12. And we'll look at that in that service. And the sixth, but not the least, was the miracle of the Abrahamic seed multiplication. Now look at that in the final service. When he asked Abraham to give Isaac, and the things that followed. But let's look at the example number one. And the example number one was God took the rib from Adam and returned the Eve. Doesn't that sound? Genesis chapter 2 verse 21 all the way to verse 22. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Listen to this. One rib, just little slender bone like this. One. Out of that one rib came the skull bone, came the vertebral column, came the sternum. The mastoid bones, the biggest bone in the body here, the femoral bone, the tibia, the fibula, the phalanges, the metacarpals, then the flesh, then the muscles, then the tendons, then the ligaments, then the diaphragm, then the liver, then the lungs, then the heart, then the kidneys, then the spleen, then the urinary bladder, then the ureters, then the urethra, Eve, ovaries, one rib. It was one slender bone that became nothing less than 204 bones plus everything. What God takes from you is not to meet his need. God didn't need a wife. Adam needed a wife. What God takes from man is not to meet God's need. It is geared towards meeting man's need. For your information, God is not planning to take anything from you. He wants to take some. No. What God takes from you is not to meet his needs. It is to meet your needs. Is God speaking to somebody here? What man releases to God is shadow compared to what God returns to man. One rib. What man releases to God, or what God receives from man,
is shadow compared to what God returns to man. It was rib God took, but other things came along. So what returns back is not just money. Is God speaking to somebody here? This should make life very, very easy. Very, very easy. Having said all that, what are the types of givings that we have? We're talking about the covenant of giving and receiving. Number one is what we call the regular worship offering. The regular worship offering. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 29. 1 Chronicles 16, 29. You say, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So our offering is part of our worship. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord is our regular worship offering. And the size of your offering per time is a reflection of your value for your God. It's never lost. There are people who have been giving CC to God since they have been going to church. Their level has changed, but their offering never changes. We read it in Deuteronomy chapter 16 verse 17. It said, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing. That is, it is in accordance to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. There is somebody who gives 100 naira in an offering on Sunday morning, and because of the level of God's blessing that God has given to that man, for him, clapping for that person. You can give 100. There is somebody who gives 10,000 in an offering and it's a shame. According to the blessing. According. So it's a regular worship offering. And all that we have established is that it is the law. It is giving. It is receiving. Number two is kingdom project giving. Where a project is going on, a construction or something is going on, and you are right there. Lord, I want to be part of this. In Exodus chapter 35 verse 5, all the way to verse 11, Exodus says, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass, go ahead, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair, ram skin dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood, and oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, and onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. And every wise hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord had commanded. The tabernacle, his tent. See, God was asking the children of Israel, because there was going to be a building of the tabernacle, the tent, that everyone, as they were willing, should give towards it. Every time church is being built or construction is going on, it's an opportunity for God to change people's levels. They built it and prospered by the prophesying of Haggai, Ezra chapter 6 verse 14. So that is kingdom project given. And then thirdly, we have vows and sacrifices. This is a situation where, Lord, the vow, the difference between a vow and a sacrifice is what you have now. And you are about to drop it now. A vow is, Lord, if you would bless me with a job of 1 billion, half of it is for you. Try me, Lord, and see. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 11, we saw the example of a vow that later became a sacrifice. When Hannah vowed a vow unto the Lord, If you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid, remember me, don't forget me, but will give unto your handmaid a man child, I will give him back to you all the days of your life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head. So you make a vow on your own, or you make a sacrifice when it is called in church, or by yourself. The Lord leads you that you need to do something for a change of level, because sacrifices turn around captivities. In Psalm 126 from verse 1 all the way to verse last, we don't have the time, my time is almost up, but vows and sacrifices are kinds of giving. Number 4 is giving to the less privileged. Orphans, widows, I dealt with that a bit in the midweek service. Indigent student, people who, not necessarily a widow or an orphan, but doesn't have the means of help, attending to certain things. In the book of Proverbs 19:17, the Bible said, he that giveth to the poor, he that hath pity upon the poor, lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he has given will he pay him again. If you have pity on the Lord, as you are looking after the welfare of the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and what you have given, God does not owe anybody. So you cannot give God a loan and be complaining that you are not paid. These things are so direct. Number 5 is responsibility giving. Responsibility to your biological parents. Responsibility probably to anyone you feel has been a blessing of God on your life, like a pastor, a mentor, a tutor. Responsibility to hired servants or employees. This is very, very important. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1 to 3, scripture speaking said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor, obey is different from honor. Honor is release. Your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. In the book of Galatians chapter 6 verse 6, he said, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. You read other translations, it's a bit more elaborate. Maybe give the Good News Translation or the Living Bible. Be very sure now, you who have been trained to a self-sufficient maturity, that you enter into a generous common life with those who have trained you, sharing all the good things that you have an experience. You can look at that in other translations. That is spiritual oversight. Now you look at the case of employees, Leviticus chapter 19 and in verse 13. Leviticus 19 and in verse 13, he said, thou shalt not defraud your neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with you all night till the morning. That is why governments are under curses when they delay worker salary. It's a curse for people to work and they are not paid. It is better not to employ them at all. Any service you can't pay for, you don't need it. Very important. So these things are very, very important. This is responsibility given. And of course, finally, the final is tithes. Tithes at times will go along with first fruits. But let's look at tithes. Genesis chapter 14 and in verse 18 to 20. Genesis 14, 18 to 20. Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. There is some little controversy concerning the tithe, but whether the devil likes it or not, it's scriptural and it is clean and clear. November last year, during our convention, I preached, I think it was in the vigil, on the matter of the tithe. Please pick up that message in case you are not there, or you need further clarification on the issue of the tithe. Questions are answered. The matter of the tithe. And I'm sure that that will answer. The difference between a tithe and a first fruit, in the first fruit, Somebody is trying to give a first income. I mean, after maybe a long time of no income, or maybe there is an increase in the income, then the difference that has come into his hand is called the first fruit. For example, someone was on a salary of 50,000 and now he's on the salary of, they increase the salary to 70,000. The difference in that increase, the 20 that was added could be 10, the first fruit. Am I communicating? And so on and so forth. And it can be done according to how a person is led. Ezekiel chapter 33, chapter 44, verse 30. And the first of all, the first fruit of all things, and of every oblation of all, of every sort of your oblation shall be the priest. You shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough, that he may cause the blessing to rest in your house. It attracts the blessing, right? So, because some may be asking, you didn't talk about first fruit. That is, I'll talk about that added to the tithe. But beloved, basically, this list of givings are giving. They are not givings that you do at the same time. Worship offerings is done during worship time. Tithe happens when an income has arrived. Sacrifices happen when either there is a call for sacrifice or you felt personally led to proceed in a sacrifice. Responsibility happens when as the needs arise, right? As some can place their loved ones on a regular allowance or whatever it is. That happens like that. So, but basically, as we apply ourselves to these givings, and the most critical is the tithe, because that opens the heaven. It opens the heaven because sowing seed on the earth under a closed heaven limits harvest. But the tithe opens the heaven so that the rain can fall on your worship offering. Am I communicating? So that the rain can fall on your sacrifices and fall on all the other givings. Very, very important. Having said all this, I want to conclude by showing you when not to give. Yeah? Somebody is asking, oh, so there is a time not to give. Yes. And the way some people in the world look is as if church or God or something cannot function if people don't give. No. Okay, let's go like this. When do I not give? Number one, when giving is not done in faith. If you doubt the teaching of the covenant practice of giving and receiving, you waste your giving. Romans chapter 14 verse 23b. He said, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You doubt the teaching. You doubt the preaching. You are not sure. Don't dare it. You waste the seed. God is not a beggar. He will never depend on the wretched pocket of a wretched human being for survival. Never. There may be churches looking for people's money, but not this one. Never. Giving and grumbling is a waste of money. So I don't know why they're asking us, well, I'm giving. Don't give it. You wasted the money. When you go tell people there is a church where they say people should not give if they don't believe. Don't give it. There is not one person that can be termed a sponsor of God. God is too big to be sponsored by man. All that all of us will earn, including this pastor, is too tiny to help God. Say amen. Take your say. Don't dare it if you are not convinced. If you don't believe it is true. If you don't believe it is real. If you don't believe it is workable, don't dare it. And if you see anybody who says, I am giving even though I don't believe, tell him you are wasting your time. God is not looking for anything from your type. Wasting your time. Number two, when not to give when you doubt the integrity of the system. Hello? When you doubt the integrity of the system, if you doubt what the money will be used for, if you don't trust the priest, you don't trust the prophet or the pastor over you, you waste your seed. So this thing that they are asking us to give now, am I sure the man is not going to use it to buy a new house? Am I sure they are not? Don't dare it. And if you look at a person that looks like a criminal, never drop one seed there. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 20 to 21, he said, avoiding this, that no man should blame us. Paul the apostle speaking, in the abundance, in the resources committed into our hands, which is administered by us, that no man should blame us. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men, that the administrators of kingdom resources must be honest and must administer it in probity. So where there is that doubt in the heart of a person, are they not looking for my money? Are they not trying to use it for their own personal? Don't dare it. Am I communicating? Finally, when your income source is ungodly, when your money is not clean, keep it. Don't tithe it. Don't sow out of it. God does not need it. When the source of your livelihood is not clean, money from prostitution, money from armed robbery, money from killing somebody, bribe money, corrupt money, money from unjust gain, don't dare it. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 8, the Bible said, the sacrifice, the offering, the tithe, the giving of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. Huh? You stole, you sinned. You tithed the stolen money, you multiply the sin. Man gave you money because you prostituted your life, you sinned. You brought offering from that prostitution money, you worsen your case. he said the sacrifice. He didn't say it's a sin, no. He said it's an abomination. You know what an abomination means? You don't know what an abomination means when they say a man is pregnant. Abomination. do you understand what I'm talking about? Abomination. That the pig blood, dog blood is brought in the altar for sacrifice. That was what was the abomination of desolation that they did in the Old Testament when the temple was captured and they were offering pig blood on the altar. Abomination. That will never be your portion. This thing is clear, it is clean, it is neat. Some of us, we are no longer just sacrificing. Our life is sacrifice. Every single thing. That is, you dash yourself to God, dash your money, dash everything. So we are not preaching what we heard. We are preaching our practice and practicing our preach. But it's a new day for you. How many of you receive something today? You receive something today. Stand on your feet with a shout of praise. A louder shout of praise. Take your seat 1 minute. Look at your neighbor. Say, don't give.
If you doubt the teaching of the covenant practice of giving and receiving, say, don't give. If you suspect the system. Look at him. He said, don't give. If what you are about to give is not from a clean source, don't dare it. Stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. Would you lift up your hands and let's appreciate the King of Kings, appreciate the Lord of Lords, honor him, adore him, right in this sanctuary, the galleries, the overflows, appreciate him, honor him, and worship him for what you